Hour number three, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode and Jared Cassidy here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com. PK, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm well, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. So, PK, obviously the Titans back at it this week against the Bengals. Mike Vrabel discussing the Todd Downing situation yesterday. Made it pretty clear that Todd Downing is going to be the OC this week, and we'll see what happens with the NFL and the investigation and everything as they move forward. What do you make of this situation for the Titans and how they've chosen to handle it with Todd Downing operating business as usual this week?
Well, I mean, the league rule is on DUI that they see it through the legal process pretty much in terms of personal conduct policy, which is what this is. But, you know, I would have had no problem if the Titans, who I believe work with Mothers Against Drunk Driving or have in the past, came out and said, hey, we're going to be proactive here. It's pretty clear what happened. And we're not going to sit back and wait on the league, which is incredibly convenient for us and would allow us to continue as if nothing happened and take action and go ahead and suspend him the way he'll be suspended when this thing is concluded, because the only thing that would get him off is some sort of technicality. They're not going to do that. I didn't expect that they'd do that, but it would have been refreshing, I think, if they had.
Yeah, I do a couple questions on that, Paul. One is, I do wonder if the circumstances, not to take any responsibility whatsoever off Todd Downing, but I do wonder if the circumstances in terms of who else was around him, what was going on in the plane, who, talked to him before he left, whatever, may have something to do with that. In other words, that he's not the only person culpable. But I also wonder, moving forward, what does this mean in terms of his future, long-term future here, but even beyond this, around the league, how he's perceived. I mean, just last week he got thrown out there as a possible head coach candidate. As you pointed out, it was maybe a little bit shaky at this point, but still, I mean, that's happened before. It could happen again if they have success and the offense has success. What do you think this means in that context?
Well, it's a stain on his resume for sure. Also, I can't remember whose list that is, Pelissero.
Yeah, I think so.
Nobody's hiring Todd Downing as a head coach after this year. He's directed the 32nd offense in the league for most of the year. I think they just pumped up to 30th. I mean, everybody, no matter how outside the box they want to be, it wants to win the press conference. And you can't win the press conference if you're introducing a guy who's directed the worst offense in the league for most of the year. So either somebody, an agent's pumping up Downing, or Downing has been nice to Pelissero or whatever. It's ridiculous for him to be on the meaty part of that list, and Shane Bowen not to be on the meaty part of that list, which includes over 100 people. Look, it's clear to me that list is, here are some viable candidates. Here are some viable candidates that head coaching sources want me to push. And here are some guys who've been really helpful to me that I'm going to push. And I say that about that list annually. I don't think if Mike Vrabel has any intention to move on from Todd Downing that this has much to do with it. He's a strong coach. He hasn't made moves. I don't expect he'll make a move here. But for people saying, oh, well, here's his, here's the kindling for the fire that he needed, I think that's kind of nonsensical.
Paul Kuharsky with us here on Robbie and Rexrode. So, PK, a breakout performance of sorts for Treylon Burks against Green Bay last week. What did you make of that? How encouraged should Titans fans be by what we saw? And could this be maybe a sign of things to come with Treylon Burks?
Yeah, I wrote yesterday, I mean, how often do we see a guy, have a a good game and say, oh, that's the one that's going to get it started. The next week, I wrote probably a piece with six or seven guys. There's maybe one, Anthony Firkser, who, you know, took a good game and had a better game the next week. Titans habitually failed to significantly target that guy the next week and grow it. Not that I'm expecting, you know, that 111 yards is the bar for him next week, but I won't be surprised if they under-target him this week. You know, the chances are he regresses. They, for some reason, don't game plan the same way. You know, the lack of pressure on Tannehill that was such a key last week will show up again this week. The Titans rarely, and maybe around the league, the progression line is not a steady curve. So it's an encouraging game, but I think it's foolhardy to say, oh, okay, Treylon Burks gets it now and he'll go. Because just the week before, and Joe wrote about this better than I did, he was in the way and getting his hands on a ball that was intended for somebody behind him. And I don't think all of a sudden he's going to play mistake-free now, but it's an encouraging sign that he can.
Where do you think Tannehill is? And obviously this week, you know, the Bengals debacle comes up and everything, of course. But I do feel like we talked about, Paul, that, you know, where does that last performance rank when you consider he had other – tremendous performances, a lot of them, like in 2020 in particular, when he had a lot of elements around him that were a lot better than they are now. Given the circumstances, the way he performed last game, and really it's two straight games with a lot of production in the passing game. I mean, how do you assess that? Burks, an obvious element of it last game, but where do you think he is right now?
Yeah, he's playing really well right now, you know. If these other parts around him continue to do what they're doing, the arrow is definitely up. I still have trouble, you know, counting or expecting the same thing of Burks. I'm still waiting for them to throw to Chig, which they keep promising to do. He's had nine targets in four games. You know, arrow's up on Tannehill. Everything's going well. You know, as somebody told me yesterday, you know, they feel like the Titans are due to really blow somebody out. A 10-point win over Green Bay is maybe blowing somebody out in the context of the Titans. I think you could say they're due to blow somebody out. I think you could say they're due to get blown out. you know, I believe that they're not really thinking about Cincinnati the way that fans are thinking about Cincinnati, but you should have said, I mean, they robotically, to a man, said it yesterday. Vrabel beat it into their heads at the morning meeting that it's not a revenge game. And I do believe that Tannehill seeing Bengal stripes on a helmet isn't going to go into a funk. It's not about the Bengals. It's about that mid-January home playoff game. And I don't know that any of this cures that until he's in that moment. And I'm not alone in having said that, you know, since mid-January of last year. This whole season is about getting to that moment and seeing if he can fix it. And I'd still say I tend to think it's going to be a problem.
PK, Bud Dupree has been dealing with the hip all year, and yesterday, you know, talked about how it was the other side of the hip that was hurt this time. At this point, if you're John Robinson of the Titans, how concerned do you have to be about Bud Dupree, not only for the rest of this year, but his long-term future with that contract?
I haven't looked specifically at the money, but I'm sure they save a ton if they move on from Bud Dupree next year, and they've got to move on from a bunch of guys in order to recover from the cap and you know, sign hopefully David Long, Nate Davis, and maybe get some quality outsiders. But, you know, if you move on from Bud Dupree, then you have a hole at outside linebacker opposite Harold Landry, who's going to be recovering still from an ACL, though he did it early at least. They're better when he's on the field. It's unquestionable, but he's just not been on the field enough.
And he's not getting any younger or any healthier, really. So they need him to get right and be part of this stretch run, or you know, really just for the playoffs. But it's disappointing that this thing has lingered and been such a problem, and they definitely have to measure that out when it comes to allotting that money beyond this year.
So the division's basically over, Paul, and it's positioning for the playoffs. I mean, I don't buy the Titans as a legit threat for the one this year. I just, with their schedule and with the fact that they lost to both the Bills and the Chiefs. But how should they approach? Should it just be full bore, win as many games as you can? Do you think about maybe being a little more judicious with some guys down the stretch, especially if you really cement the division? And who do you think would be the ideal matchup for them with that first game here in Nashville?
Well, I think you'd love to get a hold of the Jets. There was a time that the Jets were the team. I don't know if they can recover to be that team. We'll find out how much of a matchup problem Cincinnati might be this week. I mean, I think they've got to play as well as they can going into the playoffs, even though last year I think they were playing pretty well. I mean, the playoffs have proven like a hot team can just get on a run. But I don't think, you know, they're not better than Kansas City. They're not better than Buffalo. I know some people are saying, well, if they had Tannehill in Kansas City, they would have won. I just don't see it. I know the Bills aren't the same team. I just don't see it. I think they would struggle with Miami. So I think those three teams are big obstacles. And I think Cincinnati might be as well. We'll get that gauge this weekend. Right now it would be the Bills in town. I mean, right now it would be New England in town. I'd take that as a first-round matchup. But I really think that first-round matchup, you know, there are some that are better, there are some that are worse. In a lot of ways, the Titans will be playing the Titans in that game. In a lot of ways, Tannehill will be playing Tannehill in that game. And I think we'll see how good Ryan Tannehill's therapist is.
PK, last thing for you here. What your outlook for Team USA after the 1-1 draw against Wales?
Just a miserable second half. Showed Greg Berhalter's limitations in terms of adjusting. Too long to sub. Showed how young we are. Look, basically, you know, barring a miracle draw with England on Friday, we have to lose to England less badly than Wales loses to England, and we have to beat Iran better than Wales beats Iran. We will tie, barring a surprise, with Wales, and we have to beat them on goal differential. And we're not going to score a lot, so we have to hope that Wales doesn't score a lot either, which they won't.
PK, great stuff as always. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, and thanks for joining us this morning. We'll talk to you next week.
You too, guys. I really appreciate and enjoy this weekly thing, so I'm thankful for that.
Absolutely thankful for that.
Thanks,
as
buddy.
Well. Paul Kuharsky, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road from paulkuharsky.com. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee coming up at 8:30 as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.